G'day everybody and welcome to the McLeod Sorters podcast. This is a podcast where two romance authors go episode by episode through the Aussie TV drama McLeod's Daughters, which just celebrated its 20th anniversary of the first episode. If you follow McLeod's on social media, you would have seen posts from all the different actors and stuff. So I'm here with my co-host, Rachel Hauck. Rachel, happy anniversary to McLeod's Daughters.
Yes, happy anniversary.
Yeah, we're up to episode 9 of season 2. And I've once again forgotten to look up what the title of it is. So while I do that, would you like to tell everybody what you
have? I'll tell them what it is. It's called To Have and To Hold. I have it right up here. So everybody knows. Hi, I'm Rachel Hauck. I watched the episode muted while we're going over it with you guys, just in case there's something really good and juicy that we missed in our synopsis and in our retelling of the story. So this one's called To Have and To Hold. We have lots of drama coming up for you guys. So really excited about this episode.
Oh, so much drama. So quick recap, if you have forgotten what happened in the last episode, Claire was with Peter. They were planning to be together forever. And then Claire found out that Peter is married. And she found out by Becky telling her. Poor Becky took the brunt of Claire's anger, followed closely by Nick and Alex, and Claire's just kind of exploded at everyone, and that was pretty much the end of the episode as this news sinks in. So there's so much drama here, and we start off with, I think, what is probably one of my a part of one of my favorite scenes in this. This is Meg and I'm getting mixed up. Sorry, guys. I watched this last week and I'm thinking of a different scene. Okay. But just so you know, my favorite scene in this episode happens between Meg and Claire. But we start off with Jody and Meg. They're in the garden. They are complaining about putting rocks in the garden.
Yes.
Becky, Jody, as usual, is complaining. Becky's working on the tractor. And we realize that Meg knows this secret. And then we go over to Claire and Peter, I think. I had to type these notes on my phone, which is why they're a little less comprehensive than usual. I'm like, who did I say was doing this? Peter comes up and we get straight into the confrontation, which I was really happy about. So he comes home. He's thinking that Claire's going to be all lovey-dovey, is excited to see him as she has been throughout all the recent episodes. And he gets out of the car. I mean, last we thought everyone was suspecting he was going off to get her an engagement ring, and he thinks he's coming home to that kind of welcome. And he steps one foot out of the car and she says, "Are you married?" Boom, boom, boom.
Bum, bum, bum. Well, she hasn't been taking his call, and he says, "I've been calling you all week." And then she just goes, "Are you married?" And yeah. I actually loved this. This is yep. Rachel Hauck kind of drama. I love this even in my own stories that I write, that let's have the conversation. Yes. You know, put it off if you have to, maybe a line or two or a paragraph or two, but have the conversation. Mm-hmm. Just jump right in and let's see where all, I call it dropping the bombs and follow the shrapnel. See what, mm-hmm. where it all goes after that.
I love that. And he straight away, he goes, "We're separated." And she says, "Since before we met." And he says, "No." Boom. That was a big moment for me. I mean, we've been speculating all the way through here. Do we think Peter's married? Then once we found out he was, were they separated? Is Claire the other woman? What's she going to think about all this? And I'd actually forgotten that she even asked that question now. Now I'm thinking back on the last episode and like, wow, that's a big deal. So he was married and not separated when he and Claire's relationship started.
But he says it was over. He claims it was over. I don't know. I'm like, oh, poor Claire. And I just want to say, by the way, the mm-hmm. actress in this scene, what is her name? Don't tell me. Lisa Chappell. Well done. Is it Chappell? It's beautiful. I mean, I always thought she was beautiful, but in this particular episode, I just thought she looked really beautiful so much of the time. I just want to shout out to her beauty and to whoever made her up. She just looks so natural and so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And just watching her take like ownership over this situation, you know, right now she's yeah. being whacked by things that were out of her control, but now she's like, okay, I didn't have a choice about what happened to me, but I'm choosing the next step. And I'm going to confront this. And I liked seeing her in full flight like that.
Yeah, most definitely.
And so now we go over to, I've just written here Meg New. Now, since you're watching this, Rachel.
Yeah.
Then I'm jumping straight back to like Claire has kicked him out because I'm like, yay, she kicks Peter out. So I don't know what, if we just had a little shot that shows that Meg knew about this. My note here was that I wish I'd seen that moment. Like, how did Meg, I don't think we see on screen how Meg finds out. Has she overheard something? Has Claire told her? That's a conversation I would have, or a moment I would have liked seeing when that realization hits Meg about what Claire, who's, you know, basically a surrogate daughter for her, is going through.
You know what's weird is I'm questioning that too. We know that Becky knew, but I'm not sure. Did Becky, I don't remember Becky ever telling Meg.
We don't see it on screen.
The only way Meg knows is that she overheard Claire's reaction.
Mm-hmm. And I think Becky did tell her. Maybe it was a scene that got cut or something in the last one. Because remember Jody comes back and she's blabbing about Craig. And Meg and Becky are just looking at her like, oh, she's so self-absorbed. But neither of them actually says, hey, Peter's, you know, married and this is about Claire. And at that moment, I thought, I had the feeling that Meg knew. And so I thought maybe Becky had just told her. But
I'm kind of having a memory of maybe Harry telling her or I'm not sure. You know, Meg is always kind of corner overhearing things.
Mm, yep, yep.
So, you know, she finds, you know, later on when Claire goes through one of her phases and fires Becky, which we'll get to that.
Yeah.
There was Meg right outside the door, you know, she always seems to know. But in this particular, the next scene is there in the kitchen. The girls go, Jody goes out of the kitchen. She says, I told him it's over. Mm-hmm. And then Meg, who's, I don't think any stranger to these kinds of relationships, says, well, that wasn't very original. And she wants to know if she's going to tell Tess. And now we're starting that storyline, which is why I'm bringing it up, that Claire is going to leave Tess in the city working at the coffee shop, the cafe, because she feels like that's what she really wants to do. And she doesn't want to wreck that. So, which I think is the legitimate, I'm not going to tell my sister storyline. Mm-hmm. A lot of times those things are too pat and too cliche and too made up, like just have a decent conversation. And in some ways I think maybe Claire should. But she doesn't know that Tess is going to come back or not. But I appreciate the sentiment here that I don't want her to feel like she has to come back.
Yeah.
She's doing what she wanted to do. This was always her dream. And I appreciate that.
Even though they don't say it, I feel like if she tells Tess, that's sort of making it more real as well. And it's probably just one extra hard thing that she can't face at the moment.
Yeah. And Tess is, I mean, Claire, you guys are going to get so mad at me. I'm so horrible at getting these names right. Claire is not the greatest communicator in the world.
No, she's not.
So it fits her character. Yeah. Now, the only other thing that kind of where we are right now, when I was watching, I thought, wait. I don't know. I think I'd want to hear his story. Maybe I wouldn't. Anybody out there, let us know your thoughts. But I'm like, okay, you weren't separated before we met, but you say that it was over though before we met. So
elaborate.
Tell me the story. Elaborate, please. Tell me, how did it all go down?
Yes, definitely. So now we jump over to Tess. Tess is wearing the boots that Claire gave her, and she's wearing them in the city. So I like that. Even though Tess, you know, the city girl.
I missed that point, but yeah, she is. That's good.
Yeah, she's back in the city, but she's taken a little piece of Drover's Run with her, and she's not the same person that she was. So I really liked that that representation, you know, sort of her change there. And we see that the cafe is not busy at all. I also noticed that Tess is wearing a lot more makeup than usual because, you know, she's now dressing for Adelaide, not Drover's Run.
And she's wearing lesser tops. Let's just say she's got the spaghetti strap tops on, the kind of camisole looking tops on. So she's definitely dressing for the city.
Mm-hmm. And then this is what I'm dealing with my notes here. I used to watch it on my phone and type on my computer. The last couple of times I've watched like via my computer and typed on my phone, where I have to deal with the troubles of autocorrect. My next note on this scene is, tell her teeth, not yet. I don't know what that meant, guys.
Tell her the truth.
Oh, the truth. So, that makes so much more sense.
It makes so much more sense. So Simon is holding back from Tess the truth. And I forget the other girl.
Yes. Bryony says to Simon, are you going to tell her the truth? And he says, not yet. And at that point, I was guessing the truth is that the cafe is going broke. Which
exactly.
Yeah, we were right. So now we jump back to Drover's run, and Claire finds Becky fixing the tractor. Claire is bad at emotional scenes, but she does front up and very awkwardly tell Becky, "You were right. You've done me a favor." And I loved Becky's response here, remembering the history she's had with Brian and the fact that at one point she did shoot him. She goes, "Men can't live with them, can't shoot them."
That was very good. That was very good. That was great. Great writing.
Single best line probably of the season. I mean, I haven't seen the whole season yet, but it's my leading contender so far. Goes to Becky.
You know, we should do that. We should collect all the great lines and then put them out there for everybody to judge.
Best one-liners. Look, I'm going to highlight it on my thing so that I can easily find it again in the future.
And I would like to comment while you're highlighting. I thought Roy, the sweet dog, had quite a few scenes in the next two episodes.
Yes,
he's at the tractor scene. There's a couple of different scenes with Roy, sweet Roy. So
he's so cute.
And good on you, Roy.
Just like Roy when I was growing up, and every time I see him, and we don't have them anymore. We lost our last one a few years ago, and every time I see him, I'm like, oh, I miss Bo. But back to the work now, and we're heading over to Wilgul, and they're talking about helping the boys drench their sheep. And the conversation over there is, you know, how did Claire find out? It was Harry. They're saying that'd be right. And the boys weren't sure if Claire was coming or still speaking to them.
Right.
But she shows up. I think she tells them that Peter's leaving. And Nick is very sweet in this scene, and he's talking to Claire about it. And I think Alex is mostly kind of huffy puffy, "I hate Peter," in Alex style. And I like the fact that he wasn't a fan of Peter. I am ad-libbing a little bit here, filling in the gaps between my notes. So tell me if I'm remembering this wrong, Rachel.
No, you're going along right. This is
I'm
good.
Going along right. Okay, yeah. I thought the main bit of this conversation was between Nick and Claire. And he's saying, you know, "Are you okay? Are you going to tell Tess?" Claire says, "Don't tell." And I just love Nick in this whole thing.
Yeah, I think Nick really shines in this episode. Again, really pretty shots of Lisa Chappelle or Chapel. Is it Chapel or Chappelle?
I read it 1,000 times, but I've never heard anyone pronounce her name. I'm going to have to watch some YouTube video or something and see how they say it. Yeah,
really gorgeous shots of her. I've always said Chapel. Yeah, but I don't know. It has Chappell, I think. Anyway, we'll figure out what that is. If you guys know, give us a little diction lesson.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was... really the personalities of the brothers seem to take a distinct stand in this episode more than before. Nick is clearly more of the compassionate, kind, "I really care about you," where Alex is just really owning the "I'm brash and bold and I'm the defender. I'm going to swing first and ask less questions later." Kind of guy. You know, he's a great guy too, but he just has a different approach, and that their personality differences and strengths really stood out in these two episodes.
And I love how consistent the writers are with that. Like they're really nailing that all the time. You never think, "Oh, that wasn't a Nick thing to say." It's always like, "Oh, that was such a Nick thing to say."
Right That was a Nick thing to do, or that was an Alex thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Then we see Becky and Brick. They're talking about how he's bought gear from Kalani. So it seems that Kalani is once again lending gear to Wilgul, which is nice to see. Indicates a little bit of a healthier relationship between Harry and the boys, perhaps. But I was kind of surprised, because we'd last left it that they were sort of mad at Harry for telling Claire, which I thought was unjustified. But anyway.
Well, because he's always in everybody's business. I think that's why. True. He's just a nosy man.
Yeah, he is. And Brick gives Becky a letter that says how he feels.
He does. That was so sweet.
Yes. And she just takes it. And then we cut to a scene of Tess is going out drinking with her friends. And then we jump back to Drover's, and Claire's in her office. And Peter comes up on the veranda in what I thought was to me, it looked creepy for a second there. I was like, is Peter going to turn into a stalker? Is that the direction this drama is going? But then it was, that's not where they were going. They were going more of a romantic scene. And she's saying, you know, "You can't do this to me. It's not fair." He says he loves her more than he's loved anyone else before. which I mean, this is not a criticism of the writing. This is a criticism of Peter's strength of character. I feel like that's a line that if someone has cheated on someone, you're going to justify that by saying, oh, but I love you more than I loved the last one. And I just was like, Peter, not a fan at the moment, Peter.
When I think Peter's really cute. The actor is really cute. I can't help it. And my first real boyfriend was named Peter. And I have a brother named Peter. I love the name Peter. But yeah, at this stage, again, this is where I'm like, Claire, demand to know the details. Yeah. This man is coming in and telling you it was over. And well, how long were you together? Mm-hmm. What were the problems that were going? Do you have children? Like, why would she not ask about children? Because that's going to come up later, you guys.
Yep.
But I just feel like he's playing her heartstrings. Again, beautiful shot of Claire, and the emotion looks really real. I just felt like this was some of Lisa's really good acting in this scene. And even Peter looks like I'm telling the truth, mm-hmm. even though there's a part of you that wants to punch the screen and say,
yeah.
Oh, you scoundrel, you scum.
Having seen these few episodes, I don't have the feeling that Peter has had multiple affairs. You get yes. the feeling that he did fall in love with Claire while he was married to someone else, which I still do not like.
Never going to like that. Never going to like it.
But you do feel like he is more someone who has decided to go with his feelings rather than his marriage vows, but he's not someone who's like predator looking for women, kind of just using people thing like that.
No, you don't. And she leans into him and is like crying. And so there was a point when my husband and I were like, well, I think we're going in different directions. And I'm like, okay, so we were breaking up as a romantic couple, but we were still best friends. And I'm like, no, wait, don't go, because I need to cry on my best friend, you know, like, so, because I was really upset. It worked out though, you guys, and there was no affair. But just saying, it feels like it probably was a little bit of real life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It does, yeah. And as a side note, I know that these aren't the main characters, but I would love to see like a little side thing where, like, I don't know obviously what's going to happen with Peter and Claire going forward into the episodes, but I would love to see like a thing where him and his wife end up working it out. That would be like a cool little side story. Yeah. I love those stories.
Yeah. I think so.
It'd be very cute.
I think so too. And well, we'll talk about it later, because I think I'm a little confused on Meg and Terry, but we'll get to that.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay, let's keep going. So, yeah, at this point, Claire cries, and then she kisses him. And I was like, what? That's not where I thought this was going. I wanted a little bit more anger before they got back together, but I did think it was an interesting angle that, okay, this is not just the angry, yeah, you're a scumbag. This was, like you're saying, this is more emotional. So then Jody sees Peter's car. She sees the study. She goes in to like interrupt because she's still, see, everyone else is still mad at Peter. And Meg's like, stay. So on you, Meg, just watching out for him a little bit there. And then Claire comes out and says, Peter's staying. And Alex at that moment shows up in his big black ute and sees Peter and confronts him. And Peter is a bit of a jerk and is saying, oh, not your business, blah, blah, blah. And the boys get into a bit of a scuffle, and I was really wanting Alex to just land one good solid punch before Claire broke them up, but he didn't quite get it in. It was a bit more just sort of push and shove, and then Claire breaks them up, and then he looks at Claire and says, I thought you were better than that, which, ooh, I thought that was an interesting blow. And Alex, we all know where he sits on the on his beliefs with how much of a dirtbag Peter is. He is not a fan.
Yeah, but Claire does bring up something later on that he is not, that Alex is no angel either. So, yeah.
Alex is no angel either. Mm-hmm. He's got a bit of a double standard there. But he seems very disappointed in Claire, that Claire would date someone who he thinks, I think his real anger comes from the fact that he thinks Claire is going back to someone who hasn't treated her well. I think that's what he's really mad about.
Yeah, so clearly the Killarney boys are big brother to the Drover's Run girls, and somewhere in there romance happens or doesn't happen, but somewhere in here somebody's gonna have to marry one of the other. Yes.
Somebody's gonna marry saying. Somebody. Come on.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree. Now Peter and Claire go over there watching the horse. Claire says, you know, people here are protective. He says, you're not having second thoughts, are you? And she's like, no, you just need to prepare for some flack, which is fair enough. And he says, yep, I can't wait for you to meet the girls. And she's like, what girls? And he goes, oh, I thought you knew. I have two little girls.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I thought you knew that I was married and had two little girls, even though I never told you. Come on, Peter. Come on.
Oh, Peter. I like Jodie's reaction too. Jodie's reaction was interesting. She's now found out the truth and she says that she doesn't want to work for Claire if Peter's married. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. This isn't just Jodie's mad at Peter. She's mad at Claire. And I guess maybe this comes back to sort of maybe her own parents' breakup and stuff like that. She does not like the idea of Claire being the other woman either. And she's like, oh, I don't even want to work for her if that's it. And that was a little interesting thing I hadn't known about Jodie.
Well, she also has a crush on Nick. So
yes.
He's saying she might try to work for him. She gives him a little look because they're actually at Woolgall, if I said that right.
I wrote here. I was like, does Jodie have a crush on Nick? Which, I mean, I guess that's very understandable. Jodie, but we saw that human. Before. Look at Nick.
We saw that before in another episode. She was kind of making goo-goo eyes at him.
Yeah, that's true.
A couple episodes ago.
He was nice to her for like 5 seconds and she was in love with him.
Yes. Yeah.
And then we see Becky blows off Brick. Because she hasn't read his letter. But we've got to remember, folks, Becky can't read. And so she can't read.
I totally forgot that.
Yeah, I had temporarily. I totally forgot. That. And it was only the latest, and I was like, "Oh, that's right. Becky can't even read." So.
Well, she asks Jodie later to read the note. So.
So Claire and Peter are talking about the girls. She's saying, "You know, I thought we'd have kids one day," and he's like, "Yes, I want that." Da da da. And I thought, "Oh, this is growth." Even that Claire has just said that she wanted kids. You know, she's now opening up about what she wants and being a little bit vulnerable, and we haven't seen her do that in a relationship yet.
Well, she's very vulnerable here.
Very much. And now Becky and Jodie having a bit of a break, and Becky gives Brick's letter to Jodie to read. And so Jodie starts off reading and it goes something like, you know, dear Becky, you really hurt my feelings when you made out with Craig. And Becky's like, oh, stop reading, grabs the letter back, goes off. And that's the end of that. So like, oh, we're in a bit of a pickle now. Becky can't read it herself. She can't get someone else to read it because it's too embarrassing and she's not talking to Brick about it. So what's she going to do? And then we go back to Drovers. They're having dinner. Peter's trying a little bit too hard. He's complimenting the apricot chicken. The sucking up is not working. Jodie asks what ages his kids are and whether they look like him or his wife. And Meg gives her a kick under the table. And Peter and Claire go back to Claire's office and talking about, you know, they'll get used to it. And Peter is a bit concerned, saying, what if they don't? Which I think Peter just needs to put on his big boy pants and take the flack that he's getting and deserves to get, I would say. Because I hope that he's not suggesting that they don't have Meg work for them anymore or stuff like that, because, you know, he's the one who's done the wrong thing here, not them.
Right. Absolutely. I think he's just trying to survive this table of women. I'm sorry. What a scary place to be. Peter, yeah, you're a little bit of a dirt bag, but whoa, I wouldn't want to be sitting at that table.
Yeah, no, neither would I. So we have another quick flash of Tess is in the city. They're not making much money. Then Claire and Peter are making out in Claire's office and Tess rings them and they're talking. She's asking, you know, about bridesmaid dress ideas, and Claire's kind of trying to put her off. You know, Peter's trying to kiss her while she's talking on the phone, and she's saying, oh, you know, who gets married these days anyway, which is very different. Obviously, last Tess heard, they were on the fast track to getting engaged. Claire's obviously very distracted, hangs up quickly. Poor Tess feels a little bit rejected. And then the phone rings again and Claire, she picks it up straight away. She thinks it's Tess again and it's Peter's wife. And so Claire just hands the phone to him and walks out of the room. And I really liked that this happened. Like, this is a great plot point. I guess I was a bit afraid that they might just avoid the issue for a while and pretend, you know, this hasn't happened. These girls don't exist. The life on Drover's Run is the only life there is. But boom, like reality has just jumped in Claire's face and she can't avoid the fact that Peter currently has a wife.
Well, and that he has daughters.
And he has daughters.
Mm-hmm. He has daughters. And so, you know, how are you going to respond to that? And the wife obviously knows he's there because she rang.
Yeah.
And there wasn't anything wrong with the girls, but she rang. So mm-hmm. I don't know. If I were Claire, I'd have given him the boot for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At this point, I mean, he walks out and says she's on the road and she's coming here. And
oh, and that's right. Like, yeah.
From Queensland. Like if you guys are not familiar with Australia's geography, Brisbane to Adelaide is a solid 2-day drive through nothing but like red dirt desert crap. Right. I made the drive.
It's no man's land.
It was like the worst 2 days ever.
No man's land, right?
No one makes that trip unless they absolutely do not have any other option. With two kids in the car, oh my goodness, she's driving there in person. She's not, and he says, you know, she says we have things to sort out. Well, like, geez, obviously they're not long separated if they still have things to sort out. Like, to me, it sounds like she's trying to win him back, or maybe they're working out custody or something like that. But I mean, to me, when he said, oh, we're separated, I feel like maybe they'd been separated for about 5 minutes at that point.
Right. Well, since he started getting romantic with Claire, because remember, she went for it and he's like, no, I can't. And so then he went away and he came back and then he went for it. And so I feel like he had to go and deal with that first. Mm-hmm. But if you're still married, I don't care if you're separated, hate each other's guts, you're still married. Mm-hmm. You're mm-hmm. still legally before the law, before God, are married. So clean that up and then come talk to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm not so sure that he even went home and ended it straight away. I feel like there could have been overlap. And then he decided, okay, now I want to pick Claire. Like maybe when he left and they all thought he was getting in the engagement ring, maybe that's when they got separated. And so maybe. They really hadn't been for long at all. I just, this is very, and he's obviously left his wife for Claire. So it's not like I don't think they were separated and then he met Claire and fell in love with her. I think he was married. He got distracted by someone else and he left his wife and his kids.
So I think the other thing that you have to consider is you just can't underestimate the power of the human heart when they're in love. I mean, how many real life stories do we know of people who love someone that's not good for them, or, you know, like fall in love when they're already in a relationship? Or, you know, I think that's what they're trying to show here with Claire, is she really built a lot of her world, her current world, even the Australian horse thing that they're involved with.
Yeah.
The bloodlines, that she's got this contract. This is her future. This is what she wants to do. He's the man who brought it to her. She fell in love with him. She's just going to follow her heart a little bit, which we love seeing her do because she normally doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'll wise up later, but
yeah,
it makes story-wise, it makes a lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm. It does. Now we jump over. Alex is now milking Madonna. Claire comes over. She's brought a sheep thing and that he wanted for the sheep. And he says, oh, too late. We got one from Kalani. It's super awkward between them. Alex is clearly still mad about her getting back with Peter. Claire yells at him in typical Claire fashion. She says, you're a hypocrite. You slept with a married woman, which was news to us. Alex defends himself saying, well, at least she came on to me. And I think
he was surprised she knew. He goes, what, yeah, you knew? And she's like, everybody knew.
And I think his defense is maybe he's thinking, well, you know, she came on to me. I wasn't ending that marriage. And maybe he thinks that she's coming between Peter and his wife. I'm not sure.
Well, he says, I never lied to her. So his whole self-righteous soapbox is, I didn't lie.
Yeah.
You're still an adulterer.
Okay. Peter lied to her. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says on the scale of lies, his one was a biggie. Yes. And I was like, yeah, you're right, Alex. And I think that's still, I think Claire's really torn at the moment. She still feels the feelings of love for him, and she's hurt by his lie, and she keeps, like, she's seesawing back and forth about what that's going to play out like.
Yeah. And I just want to say, at the moment that he knew he had feelings for her, he had to say, Claire, look, I'm married. I have feelings for you. My marriage isn't healthy. We've talked about separating. There's two girls involved. It's complicated. I don't know. Yeah. I would have appreciated that drama myself.
That's it. That's another big problem I have with Peter. Like, if he was separated at the start, well, then he wouldn't have resisted Claire so much, because he would have been like, oh, I'm a free man. But he wasn't separated at the start. He was with his wife, and he could have ended, you know, that romantic tension between him and Claire, that, well, they weren't they feeling, by just saying, hey, I'm married, or how about wearing your wedding ring, or something like that.
Right.
But he didn't. He stayed near temptation to see what would happen, even though he knew he was married at the time. And so, yeah, not a fan there. But Nick shows up. Now we're back in the city, and look who has walked into the cafe. Nick. And Tess is like, hello, what are you doing here?
We love you, Nick.
Yay, we're so excited. You see him in his city clothes. He's not wearing his country clothes anymore. He's looking very happy to see Tess. You know, at first she's like, what brought you here? And he goes, oh, I've got a physio appointment. But then I think Simon comes and says, why are you here? And there's a bit of tension here, because we all know Simon loves Tess and Nick has feelings for her as well. And I think they both maybe recognize that in each other, or at least Simon's suspicious. And so she looks a little disappointed when Nick says, oh, I'm just here for the physio. But when Simon asks, Nick changes his answer and he says, oh, I came to see Tess. I was like, ooh, little bit of pushback there, a little bit of, hey, Simon, you're not the only guy around here. I thought that was.
And Miles looks really cute.
Yes, as always. The city look looks
Miles
good
slash Nick. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then Bryony, who's the third friend who runs the cafe with them, makes an awkward comment about, oh, Tess, you went out with the wrong brother.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I forgot about that. She does. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then Simon's all bummed, and Nick and Tess talk about Claire a little bit, but Tess doesn't realize that Nick is referring to the whole drama with Peter, because she doesn't know about it yet. And Nick doesn't know that she doesn't know. So they kind of, and I thought that was good, because it's not like they haven't, if they hadn't mentioned Claire at all, we would have been like, why didn't Tess and Nick talk about Claire and Tess find out everything? But they did talk about her. They just didn't know what each other knew. And so it was a good way to get around that.
Yes.
And now this, okay, now this is my favorite scene. This is what I was talking about at the start. Meg and Claire are working in the garden, and Claire comes to Meg. And I mean, Meg is really sort of the surrogate mother for Claire. And she says, she talks about Peter, and she says to Meg, look, tell me straight, what do you think about this? And so Meg says to her, I don't think this will work. And I was like, oh, that is interesting. Especially, and I mean, Meg's an expert in this. I mean, she has had a number of relationships, some of them overlapped, as we saw with Terry and Kevin. We're very unsure about what it was exactly that went down with Jack McLeod. So, like, I feel like this is an area where Meg has experience and maybe some hard-won wisdom. And she says, are you sure that you want this? Because you can have it, but there's going to be a lot of pain on the way. And I'm not exactly sure whose pain she was referring to, if it's Claire's pain, if it's Peter's wife's pain, if it's Peter's daughter's pain. That wasn't completely clear to me, but I mean, it could have been all of them. Everybody, I mean, any relationship ending causes pain. So I thought that was interesting.
I think she's speaking to Claire about pain. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there are some other, and that would have been great to have a dialogue of like, how do you think she feels? I mean, are you the other woman here? Is that what you want to be?
Yeah.
Like, some really interesting
to be twice as long.
Yeah. To really have some interesting challenge. Don't tell her, like, what do you mean pain? Just mm-hmm. because he'll have to divide his time with his girls or what, you know, like mm-hmm. This would have been a great line, Jess. Mm. You'll never know if he was going to leave her before he met you. Are you the other woman? Did you break up a family without knowing it? Like, that would have been such like, oh, mm-hmm. I don't know, like that kind of pain. Like,
and I feel like never- They've danced on the edge of sort of, did Claire break up a family, but they never quite say it out loud or show her really. I mean, later at other points, she says that it's not, she's not worried about his relationship with his wife ending. It's about his daughters that she's concerned. And, but she doesn't really seem to struggle with the fact that she may have unknowingly played a part in ending a marriage.
Yeah. And I think I give her that. Kudos, not kudos, but I that's what would make me mad is in this way. I don't know, me personally, I would say, hey, really, really know before you get romantic, if you know what I'm saying, with somebody, because you don't know what, make sure you know, like know about them before you take things too far, because what an awful feeling, even though she didn't do it on purpose. I really felt for her. I'm like, I'm so glad I'm not you.
So now we're back in the city and Tess asks Nick, oh, what are you doing after your appointment? Come out with us. And he looks very happy about that. But then when they go out, Tess is holding Simon's hand and Bryony is holding Nick's arm and they're going into the nightclub. I'm like, Tess, what are you doing? You're not interested. Simon's interested in you, but I don't think you're interested in him. You seem interested in Nick. Why did you match up like that?
I thought that was weird too. I thought that was weird too.
Yeah. Then they come back later that night. Bryony wants to dance. Simon wants to dance. They're each trying to, like, Bryony seems very keen on Nick. She clearly thinks he's pretty hot. Simon's always trying to crack on to Tess. They're both saying, oh, dance with us. And so Tess is like, no, I'm tired. You two dance with each other. And she takes Nick and they go and they sit on the couch together. And then she says, oh, you're staying in a hotel, you know, you should stay here. And he's like, oh, well, where's there any room? And then surprise, surprise, they make a bed for him on the floor of Tess's room. And I was like, interesting. Tess seems to be maybe getting a little bit more interested in Nick. Is this her trying to get a little bit closer? But then
there was a girl who stepped out of the line to flirt with Nick, by the way.
Oh, yes, that's right. And Bryony was like, heck no, he's here with
me. That's right. That's right.
Yep. But I was also like, is she trying to torture Nick? Like, she puts him very close, but just out of touching range. I'm like, this seems a little bit, I don't think Nick's going to sleep tonight. She's just torturing him a little bit. And then she kind of rolls over. And he says, oh, I didn't have a physio appointment. I wanted to see you, which finally Nick has said out loud what he's feeling for the first time. And of course, Tess is already asleep and she doesn't hear it at all.
Yeah, that was interesting. Him bedding down there when he had a queen size bed at his hotel. But that was really also a really great scene with him because they are just focused in on his face. Mm-hmm. Got his hands propped behind his head, and he's trying to tell her the truth. So you really have a great shot of the actor. You have a great shot of his emotion. I just thought it was a good Nick scene. And then I love that he finally sat up, is like, Tess, and she's out. And then he puts the blanket over her.
So oh, sweet. Yes, because he's thinking it's so sweet. Then we jump back over to Peter and Claire. Peter's going into town. He's going to meet his wife at Gungellan Pub. Something I was wondering is, I mean, it seems clear to me, and I think actually maybe even Meg made a point or someone made a point that, you know, the wife is wanting Peter back and maybe the wife is
right,
having one last fight for the relationship. And I thought, oh, that's like, so this marriage actually, I mean, I don't think it's over until both people know it's over. Like she still thinks, I don't know if you can claim they're separated when she's still trying to thinking that she can save this. They obviously haven't been separated for long if she's thinking that they can be. And what I want to know is what Claire thinks about the fact that his wife wants him back instead of him seeing if he can fix the relationship with the mother of his children, and he instead is going to be like, no, I'm going to close that door. I'm going to open the door with Claire. And I just wanted to know, I didn't get much of a feeling of what Claire thought about that.
We just see her face. We don't really get, I don't know yet either. So
not sure. She'll probably say later. Then back in the city, Nick's cooking brekkie. They have to go to work. They've got to open up the cafe. So, and Tessa's friends are trying to pull her away. She's not getting a chance to talk to him. And so he just says, it's good to see ya. And I'm like, dude, visit again. I think you're going to need a lot more physio appointments in Adelaide soon. So I'm hoping.
I love this apartment, by the way.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Was Tess sleeping in, like, is her bedroom like the middle of the lounge room?
I think so. It's in the middle of the lounge.
Yeah, because when they went to sleep, I thought it was a different room. But then she seemed to get up and her, like, bed was, maybe she sleeps on a futon there.
Yeah, and I want to know, like, why nobody ate his breakfast. Why are you that late that you can't eat breakfast?
Yeah.
Grab it anyway. He made breakfast for you. That's it. He seems so unoffended that they don't eat his breakfast. Yeah. Nick, you're such a good guy.
Meanwhile, Claire makes an excuse to go into town. Meg at first is thinking that she genuinely is going into town for an errand. She's like, oh, no, I think we already have that thing. And then she realizes why Claire's going in and she just wishes her luck. And then Jody says, oh, I'm going to come help. And Meg's like, no, you're staying here.
Poor Jody. She says she's going for saddle soap. She says she's going for saddle soap and in that gorgeous antique Mercedes. Thank you very much. What a great car.
And then Claire is driving and crying all the way into Gungellan, which, oh, poor Claire. We go back to
poor Claire.
I really felt for her that time. We go back to the boys' property. Wilgle, Brick, and Becky are there, and she tells him, I really like this, she tells him that she can't read. So she finally, again, Becky really struggles to be vulnerable, so she's finally told Brick something, and she makes him read it. And he only gets the first line out, and then Alex is telling him to do something with the sheep. And Becky goes and she starts working with the sheep. And so Brick just keeps reading the letter louder, which I'm like, he's not only said how he feels, he's now reading it out loud, which is more embarrassing. And now he's shouting it out across the yards in front of his boss. Brick, you are a man among men.
I know. I thought that was awesome.
Oh, he's so good. That was great. He tells her.
She gets to hear the whole thing.
Yeah, and the letter's all about, like, it started off that his feelings were hurt, but he wishes that she'd, you know, she'd treat herself the way he treats her, like he wants her to believe in herself and stuff like that. And it was just the most beautiful letter ever that anyone would be delighted to receive at any point in their lives.
And then he says, I really, really like you. I don't think I did my like right, but like you. There you go. Does that better? Like you. I'm trying to do my Aussie. I really, really like you.
and he even says that even if she doesn't want a romantic relationship with him, he'll always want to be her friend. And she says that she would like that. And I was like, oh, Brick is so, she's so
cute. And she is so cute. Yeah, she was so cute.
They're adorable. And then the sheep escape while they're talking to
And he's like, what are you dingbats doing?
Yeah, no, having Alex there just made that scene even so much better. It would have been a lovely scene if they were on their own, but have them, like, Alex keep on interrupting and stuff was fantastic. Then, shifting gears, Claire arrives in town. She gets to the pub. She sees Peter's car. And I'm like, what's Claire's plan here? Like, I'm not quite sure what she's wanting to happen. Is she going to go in there and let this woman see her? I mean, that's rubbing the poor woman's nose in this. Like, she doesn't want to see her husband's, you know, other girlfriend. But then Claire drives away. She chickens out. She gets out of the car and Terry sees her. He's in town. He comes over, he's yapping and yapping away, and she can look over Terry's shoulder and she sees Peter come out of the pub. There's a woman there. There's two little girls. Claire looks at his wife. The wife looks back at her. I think the wife figures out that this, you know, attractive young woman standing 50 meters away crying, watching them, is probably, probably her husband's girlfriend. And she kind of, you know, looks very...
Claire's look is like she knows I'm the one.
Mm-hmm.
Claire knows.
Yep. Terry realizes what's happening and makes his excuses and goes. And then we go home and we see Claire looking at a picture of her and Tess, and she says nothing lasts forever. And I was like, I know this is a picture she often goes back to when she's upset, but is the what nothing lasts forever referring to her and Peter? Is it referring to her missing Tess? I'm just not quite sure why the Tess photo was linked to the Peter situation. But anyway, it provides a link to then go back to the city and the cafe is quiet again. Tess overhears Simon talking about how bad they're doing and they finally tell her what the situation is.
Which, by the way, their menu here was, she's trying to serve a guy with a beanie cap on his head who clearly does not like fancy food.
No, he just wants one to serve coffee.
The lunch special, Hokkien noodles with kelp and tofu. He's like, no thanks. And then she rips his coffee cup away, says, "You've nursed it long enough."
Yep. And then we see Brick is looking all dressed up. He has such a mullet, which I was laughing at, because in 2002, mullets were no longer really in style. So is, I don't know, Brick is reliving the 80s, which he would have been a baby then. But
Brick is his own man. He is his own man.
And he's pulling it off. Like, I don't think the mullet improves anyone's looks, but I think Brick pulls it off better than I've seen any other human being do it. It's only a slight mullet. So, and then Becky's all dressed up and they finally are going on their first date. He opens the door for her. He says, "Look, you can let other people do things for you." And they go off on the cutest date ever.
I know, watching the stars.
Oh, I love it. We go back to the city. Tess says everyone else is doing city food. Men want hearty country food. And I made a note, I'm going to laugh if they do apricot chicken, which totally came true. And then we see Claire's at home. She's sad. Peter comes back. She tells him that she went into town, and he's like, "Why did you do that?" And she says, "I wanted to see if I could cope and I couldn't." You know, she says, I think she says she hates herself. She doesn't want him to convince her. She says she's not upset that he's breaking up with his wife. It's about his kids. She still loves him, but they can't be together, and she cries. Now I have something, and this is going to be a slight spoiler for the next episode here. I have a question about this, Rachel. I'm keen to see what you thought. It seems that Claire thinks that he shouldn't be away from his daughters. He shouldn't be, you know, living in South Australia with her while his kids are in Queensland. And so she's breaking up with her, and she can't go with him to Queensland to live near them because she will spend her life at Drover's Run. So I took this to be, she's not willing to leave her farm for him. She thinks he needs to be with his kids. She's choosing really the farm over Peter, but she's very upset about it. In the next episode, slight spoiler here, guys, Claire's so depressed over losing Peter that she decides to put Drover's Run on the market. At that point, I was like, well, then I don't understand why you broke up with Peter, because if you're willing to sell Drover's Run, why didn't you move with Peter to Queensland? Peter also doesn't seem to live in Queensland anymore because he's nearby when he has to pick up the horses. And even though he's doing all this Australian bloodline stuff, he doesn't seem to be based out of Brisbane much. So why do you think that Claire broke up with Peter? I'm so confused.
I wish you guys could see my face right now because I'm a little bit of a hey. Yeah, because I was very confused by that as well. Like, what are we doing? But at the same time, I got that it was a huge overreaction. Mm-hmm. So that's what I chalked it up to.
Oh, so you think the breakup is an overreaction, or the selling is an overreaction?
The selling was a huge overreaction.
Oh, yeah, that was.
Like, I don't know what my life is anymore. But I don't, let's just say this. I don't think she was sending him back because she was not willing to sell Drover's Run to be with him. Mm-hmm. She was not willing to take him away from his daughters. And so can I imply that maybe she thinks that's for him to be with or near his wife?
Maybe she wants him to get back together with his wife. Cause I would kind of think by this point that marriage is now, I mean, the wife has seen the girlfriend. I don't think that marriage is getting saved at this point.
Yeah. But maybe she's encouraging him. So again, this is where we could have used more dialogue.
Yeah. Yeah. Once again, the motivations aren't clear.
Well, and we're not asking all the questions. So again, ask the questions, drop the bombs and see where the shrapnel goes. Yeah. Just like, my girls can come and be with us, or my wife is willing to move down here to be near. I don't know. What if the wife wouldn't want to live in the Gungellan? She wouldn't. What would she do for a living? But maybe she doesn't work. But I don't know. Still, we could have used some more info here.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, custody arrangements do exist. So, you know, other people have navigated these waters before. So why just
but like you said, Queensland is a long way from Adelaide.
It's a very long way. And it's not like they could just put the girls on a plane and fly them down and then he could pick them up. Like it's hours into Adelaide. Yeah. And I don't even know if you could fly in 2002 direct from Brisbane to Adelaide. You probably had to change it to Sydney. So that's hard to send two little girls. I know I've known people who would put their kids on one end, the airport staff would then drop them off to their other parent at the other end. But I don't know if they could manage transfers doing that.
Yeah, that would have been difficult. So yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a subtle way of saying you have to go back to your wife.
Yeah. And then we go back to Tess. She's at home. She's looking at the stuff.
Put a pin there for a second.
Oh.
So Peter drives away.
Mm-hmm.
And Tess is standing next to Mama Horse. And then she walks across the Claire, I'm sorry. Thank you. She walks across the paddock and she leans against the rails and she starts to cry. And Mama Horse comes up and nudges her hair. Ooh. She's giving her some comfort. It was so cute.
Oh, that's lovely. And while Claire's out crying under the stars, Tess is at home looking at the stars. And you get the feeling that, you know, her spidey senses are longing for home, even though
the sisters are connecting via the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's actually a moving star.
Oh. Oh, and then Rick and Becky, well, they're stargazing, but what they're actually doing is spotting the satellites.
Yes.
And Rick's worried that Becky's getting bored, and she's like, no, I love it. It's like being in heaven. And then he holds her hand for the first time, and that's the last shot of the episode. And oh my goodness, it was just the sweetest.
Very sweet. Loved this episode. Loved the drama of the episode. Loved some of the camera work on this episode, and loved that we got to see a little bit more of the definition of the brothers' personalities.
And I love, you know, Becky, I mean, let's contrast her relationship with Brick to her previous relationships. I feel like anyone she's been romantically linked with before has not been a good friend to her. They haven't really treated her well. They've gone really fast. And now her and Brick have had the most slowest burn relationship. And Brick is so patient, takes the time to get to know her and all her messiness and deal with it. And they're finally getting to a spot where they have some real trust and stuff. And they're getting a real beautiful, genuine relationship built up between them. And I just love that.
Me too. Ditto, ditto, ditto. They're so sweet.
So some other things I noticed as the credits rolled in this episode, Tess is now listed, and I haven't paid attention to what she was before. Maybe this has always been the case, but I've mentioned that I wasn't sure if she was going by the name Tess Silverman or Tess McLeod. In the credits, she is Tess Silverman McLeod.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I've
noticed that before. And also part of this one was filmed in Victoria. And I was like, oh, are they not filming the city shots actually in Adelaide? Are they maybe in Melbourne? Or maybe, I mean, Drover's Run, I mean, it's a real farm, which is in South Australia. So I'm just curious about which parts would have been Victorian.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, anyway. And that's it for this episode. Rachel, any final closing thoughts?
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done. I really enjoyed it. I really, really did. I thought it was, even though we said, well, we would have liked more dialogue here or more dialogue there. I thought it was a good balance of all the actors having a little bit of a part. And again, some really beautiful camera work in this particular episode. So well done.
Awesome. Cool. Well, if you would like to follow us on social media, you can follow us at McLeod's Pod on Facebook and Instagram, where we post pictures from the show and updates when episodes come out. And Rachel, if people would like to connect with you online and find out more about your books, where can they find you?
Just go to my website, rachelhauck.com. That's HAUCK.com. And you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, under Rachel Hauck as well. Love to chat with you guys.
Mm-hmm. And you can find me at Jessica Kate Writing on Facebook and Instagram and jessicakatewriting.com, where you can find out about my romance novels. And there's some free romances on there if you sign up to email and stuff that people can read. So have fun with that. And we will see everybody next time for the next episode. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey guys, just wanted to say a quick thank you to composer Bobby Abbott for our theme song. If you want to check out more about him, then you can go to Bobby Abbott Music on Facebook, and that's Abbott with two B's and two T's. See you all next time.